Hello again, guys.
Hello.
Palmer Scott, welcome to our podcast, Rim Crim. It's a podcast where we interview our most beloved characters and figures in the Tim and Eric comedy universe. And we're delighted to have you, Palmer Scott, on the podcast today. Where are you based? Are you based in Los Angeles?
No, currently I'm based in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, had to return to my hometown for a bit. One of those things. LA is a very expensive city, and I ran out of money.
Yeah, I hear that. That happens to a lot of folks out there in LA. I hear that. What's the weather like right now in Salt Lake?
Oh, overcast. Snowed a few inches the other day. Front change is real because we used to get 2-3 foot of snow out here, and now if there's 6 inches total on the ground, it's like, okay, that's the snow for the season.
I hear that. Okay, here it's a little chilly and weirder here in Toronto, Canada, but we definitely have a similar thing going on there.
It's actually very warm here right now.
Oh, really? What's the temperature? Is it above zero?
Above zero. It's like 4 degrees.
So it's raining and foggy.
Raining and foggy.
Not our typical January weather.
You know, it's not foggy, Dylan. Our love for Palmer's work on Tim and Eric. That's not foggy at all. Very clear, very clear. So Palmer, you mentioned to us that you're back in Salt Lake City because the grind of LA is intense. But you said that you got an agent. So is your agent based? Where's your agent based?
She is based here.
In Utah.
Yeah, she's in Utah, and believe it or not, I've actually auditioned for more movies and TV shows up here than I was in Los Angeles.
Oh wow! So what kind of production happens in Utah?
Well, let's see. I recently did a movie with Robert Pattinson called Damsel. Did a TV movie a couple of years ago that. One of the Christmas movies from Hallmark. I'm hoping to be called in for the science fiction series that they're filming up here now. And they've got a bunch of Disney things going on, all sorts of stuff up here. It's surprising.
Wow, I guess perhaps it's the scenery that helps with the production, or maybe some tax incentives?
They're all both here, so that would be it.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's, again, similar to our Toronto scene of film as well. We want to get right into it, Palmer. So, you're an actor, and how long have you been acting for?
Since I was 10 years old.
Whoa. What was the first thing that you ever did?
Okay.
As an actor.
Let me explain. I've been doing theater since I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Not in front of a camera. But I started doing theater when I was 10, basically school productions, that sort of thing, plays. Then after I got out of high school, I started working with some of the local companies. Did theater quite a bit, and I had somebody who came to a play I was doing, one of the classical plays up at the University of Utah, and asked me if I would be interested in coming to his agency, and I did, and I got some work, and I actually managed to luck into my Screen Actors Guild card, and Whitney and I moved down to L.A.
Now, who's that? Who's that? Ricky? Sorry?
Whitney.
Whitney.
My husband.
Your husband?
Yes.
Cool. And
have you done any research on me? You don't know I'm gay?
We didn't do research, and we didn't know that you were gay.
We didn't know, but that's
we wanted to hear it from you, Palmer.
We love it. Yeah,
that's like that's the point of this podcast. Is that we're not gonna this isn't Barbara Walters. I don't know
if it's online. I mean if we were to look it up, but
where would we even find that?
We're happy to hear it.
Facebook, for one thing.
Oh, like you have it like listed that you're married to Whitney?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I have you on Facebook. I guess I didn't notice or like creep you enough on Facebook.
Yeah. We've been together almost 38 years.
That's amazing.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I've only tried to murder him about once every 10 years, so I'm due for another go at it fairly soon.
Hashtag marriage.
Yeah.
So okay, so you and Whitney moved down there, and you were doing theater, but what got you into filmed art?
Like I said, somebody asked me to come to their agency. I did. I managed to book some commercials and stuff, and then I did a TV movie. Well, really schlocky show, really. Production quality was so bad. it was awful, but that managed to land me my Screen Actors Guild card. And at the time, we owned a house in a part of Salt Lake called The Avenue. It's a very nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And financially, it was either sell the house or lose it. So we decided to sell and take the profit and move down to L.A.,
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
And that was 94.
And where in LA did you reside?
Well, first we moved to West Hollywood.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 90s in West Hollywood. What do you think a couple of gay guys moving down to LA would do? First we went to West Hollywood. Boys Town really isn't my kind of place, I guess, you know. When you're with somebody, you don't really look for party town atmosphere.
Sure.
And that. But we moved down there, and I started doing theater. I managed to get an agent interested in me, and eventually I started booking things. First thing I booked was an episode of Frasier. I had a 3-day contract as a co-star. So that was a lot of fun.
Okay, so I did see that. I did see that on your IMDb, and I did want to ask about Frasier, and if you had any interaction with the tossed salad and scrambled eggs man himself, Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, my scene was with him, but he came in, and I was on a 3-day contract, and the first day he wasn't there. But the second day we filmed, and it was the scene with this bird, a crane, that was being named Frasier the Crane.
Oh, I remember that.
And,
okay.
Yeah. So the man is getting paid $1 million an episode, and he's there with an entourage. He's gone up to his suite of rooms, not a room, a suite of rooms, and about every 15 minutes he'd pop up and, are we ready yet? Are we ready? Are we ready?
Oh, wow.
And it's like, look, dude, you're making $1 million friggin' bucks. You can cool your jets for a couple of days.
Jeez.
But he wasn't rude or anything to me, but the rest of the cast were some of the nicest people I've ever met.
Wonderful.
And I met Perry Gilpin and Jane Leaves, and those women, they were gorgeous without any makeup on. And really, those were two of the prettiest, most beautiful women I've ever met. Gorgeous. Then
we definitely had crushes on them growing up, Dylan, didn't we?
I didn't watch Frasier.
I had totally had crushes on them. Especially Jane leaves. Jane leaves for sure.
Yeah. Now, when I arrived at the studio, I was, you know, little Johnny Professional. I was dressed nicely. I was ready to go. I had my few lines memorized. Mm-hmm. And in comes this guy, and he has 3 days, 4 days growth of beard. He's slouched over, greasy sweatshirt, ripped jeans, comes up to me and says, "Hi, I'm David Hyde Pierce." Nothing like Niles.
Nothing like Niles.
I mean, rip. Nice guy, though. Really a sweetheart. John Mahoney was a doll. I cannot say enough. The only person I got any flack from was the other actor who was on a 3-day contract, and I'm not going to say who that was.
Does this person appear in the episode?
Pardon me?
Does this person appear in the episode?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to give it away. Let's.
I'm not going to specifically name, but I only got three from one person, and it wasn't one of the regulars. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Well, I mean, now that we know that you're on this episode, I think Corey and I are going to be we're going to make it our mission to hunt it down so that we can watch it as fans of yours.
Okay, well, it's all over the place. You can find it easily.
Mm, perhaps on YouTube.
On YouTube.
So you do Frasier, and you know, are you bit by the comedy bug at this point?
Oh, I've always been a comedic actor.
Okay.
Always. If I do serious Shakespeare, I'll find a way to work in a birch or a burp or a fart or something. You know, I try to make the characters human, and I do go for the laugh, sometimes easy, sometimes subtle.
You're speaking our language with burps and farts, by the way.
I thought as much. I thought so. You're Tim and Eric fans, after all.
That's right.
And so, I'm just going to sort of jump a little bit ahead. And we're going to go back to it, but you had fun on Tim and Eric, that means, because you knew it was an absurd comedic thing when you got into it, right?
No, I had only seen one episode of Tom Visits the Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was not aware of what was going on at all. The guys sent out an audition that was sent out to all the agents, and they said they wanted comedic actors doing a serious monologue. So I took only monologue I had ready at that time was a piece called Antigone by Jean Anouilh, which is a
classic
variation of the classical Antigone by, I think it was Sophocles. Anyway, so I took it. It's my 4-minute speech. I cut it down to like 90 seconds. And I sent that into it. Well, I didn't send it in. I went in, gave the speech. Within about 4 days, I got an email with this little song attached to it. And they said, "Would you please prepare this?" So I listened to it. I thought, okay. And I went in. I was dressed all in black. And they watched, and they said, no, you're trying to be sexy. That's not, we're not looking for sexy. Let's do it again. And so they said, you know, come dressed in Levi, you know, jeans and stuff.
Right, and this is for Sit on You.
Well, I was going to lead up to that, but yeah, okay. It was for Sit on You.
Okay,
of
okay.
course.
Keep
going. Yeah, keep going, though. We wanted to make okay. sure, yeah.
So anyway, I took it back and I started looking them up, you know, on the computer and stuff. And Absurdus, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tim had said he wanted things very deadpan. This is his baby at this point. You know, he had composed the song and everything.
Right, this is all Tim. And, this is one of Tim's sketches.
Yeah. And so then I do it, and I go in, and I had a, well, it was actually Whitney's shirt. It was a denim shirt And I wore that, the baggy jeans I had at that point, and came in, and I did the deadpan face. And Kim and Eric, they loved it. They said, okay. They actually taped a little bit of it then because they wanted it as a reference.
As a reference.
So that when we were... As a reference so that we can say, okay, you did this. Let's do this again at this point. And it was a very cooperative shoot about 2 days later.
Okay.
You know, they're not the kind of like, you know, one person, like, it's not him saying, okay, I'm the boss. I'm the only one who talks. Nobody talked to me. This is what you do. It's very, okay, let's see what happens here. Let's try this. Eric would say, well, I liked it when you did this. And I'd say, well, okay, what if I changed it around like that? Okay, perfect. And that's how it went.
So you found them to be very, you found them to be very collaborative directors.
Yeah, very much so. I recall that when Ben Berman was the videographer on this,
mm-hmm.
and when we had the construction worker, he was the one who suggested that, you know, the try to sit on him thing, you know, which became that rather odd-looking grub. Let's call it odd-looking and not creepy. Well, let's face it, the whole thing is creepy. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that was a big boss for the lap, and I guess I didn't get one from you, so the floor fell flat.
No. Can I be honest with you?
It didn't hit.
It wasn't that. I was making Corey turn off his phone because I think it was causing interference. And
we
I was
listening,
like, I was like, whatever you're saying is super important, but I'm getting distracted by this buzz. So I made him turn off his phone. I'm like pointing frantically at his phone. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Okay. Enough tech. Okay. Oh my God. So you shoot the sketch and you have a good time and. Well, you know, like, what did you think?
I had a great time.
And, like, what did you think was going to sort of come out of it? What were your sort of general thoughts, like, after, you know, the sort of this gig was sort of said and done?
I hadn't a clue. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I still hadn't seen any of their work at this point because I was trying to keep what I was doing uninfluenced.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I wanted to keep what I was doing mine and not like, okay, how can I please these guys doing something that fits? You know, I didn't want to cobble together something that looked like, oh, this is, even though it's classic Tim and Eric, I wanted to be, I
totally know what you're trying to say here. Like, you don't want to be influenced. You don't want to write stuff for them. You want to write stuff that sort of represents your take on whatever they're doing without being derivative of all the other sketches that they're doing.
Yeah, I didn't want it to seem like David Liebehart or James Quall or any of the others. I wanted it to be a representation of my interaction with.
Right. And do you think that after, like, when you first watched the sketch, right, were you surprised at the end product? Like, what was your first reaction to that?
I was just thinking to myself, oh, God, thank God my mother can't see this.
But you did all those things. I mean, you generally were, you definitely sat on those people.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I sit on somebody, I actually support most of my weight.
I noticed that. It's more of a lean.
I'm a rather heavy person, and I'm not going to put my weight on somebody. The only time I really had to sit on somebody was the toilet one.
Right.
That was the one. There was no way to support my weight. I had to just, I was like, okay, dude, we're going to be intimate.
So then we go. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, there was one part we did that did not make it into the final cut.
Oh.
And that was like a 14-year-old girl was reading a book on a couch laid out on her stomach, and I went in and, you know, it looked like one of those 70s paneled, it looked kind of like the set for Polite Dance Song, if you know what that is.
Polite Dance Song. No, I'm not. Are you familiar with that, Dylan?
No.
Well, you know that Eric Wareheim has directed music videos, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? I think I did see you in one of his videos.
Yeah, that was the very first music video he ever did.
Oh.
And it had, you know, that cheap, remember those really god-awful Calvin Klein ads, I think it was, with a paneled room? It looks like, you know, with all these heroin junkie-looking kids, you know, from like a 70s basement.
I think so.
That's yeah, I remember those.
Like. Anyway, yeah, but that poor girl, I almost fell on top of her. I was thinking, I'm going to break her back. And I think that, you know, the little girl, the young girl, was just too much for even Tim and Eric. And I thought, okay, this is too pervy.
So, but you did it, and they just cut it out. You actually, you know, you sat on her, but they cut it out.
Yeah.
That means that it was probably really inappropriate because they have done so many inappropriate things.
I mean, you were one of the shrimp gods. I mean, the shrimp and the
bub bubs. Right? Don't forget the bub bubs.
Far, but so I mean,
who can forget that?
Yeah, we can't. So I mean, you said that your mom, you know, you were proud that your mom couldn't get Adult Swim, but you must have been even prouder that she couldn't get Adult Swim after having seen Bub Bubs.
Well, Bub Bubs, well, just to clarify, my mother died back in 2003.
Oh, okay.
So,
sorry.
You know, it's not like I was proud of it, but I was just glad I would have had a time explaining that to her. she really, she would have been going, "What did you do? Why did you do that? I thought you were doing good things."
What did she think about your acting in general? Like, what did she?
Was she supportive?
She was very much against it. She did not want the acting. She thought it was just a horrible choice on my part. Until the Frasier episode aired. Then all of a sudden she was talking about how her son was on TV and her son was an actor and her son was rubbing shoulders with famous people, and
that's that's actually a very common narrative for comedians and actors. Parents,
parents don't want. No, you're going to be unhappy. It's like then all of a sudden you start getting some success, and they're like, "Oh wow!"
Yeah, exactly.
So
c'est la vie.
Well, you know, there are things like, the two Tim and Eric things and Pussies with Bart Baker. Those are the three things I'm really glad my mother never saw.
So, I mean, Bub Bubs was an even more green screen heavy piece, right? Did you do the whole thing in green screen?
Was green screen, yeah. It was all computer. All the background was, and everything. So I had no idea what the final product was going to look like.
Right. So, and did you meet the Bub woman? I mean, was she physically present there you?
All of us were there. We were all there for the shoot.
Did you have any idea of what that whole thing was going to be about?
Or was that just sort of a much more like directed,
esoteric?
Like, you're going to be doing this, you're going to be doing that, you know, like no sort of explanation?
There was no real explanation of the piece. This was one where it's like, okay, guys, I'm trusting you not to make me look really, really bad. Tim and Erica, I mean, you know, you know that there's going to be something where you're going to be cringy.
Right. And then, so you watched that, and then what was your reaction after watching that?
I saw that, and I was thinking, I'm swimming in amniotic fluid.
was like, okay.
Wait, so how did they direct you? So they didn't tell you that you were doing that when you were doing it. Like, how did they direct you?
No, they just said do some dancing. You know, all the dance moves came from me. Now, believe it or not, when I was younger, I was actually an ice skater.
Okay.
I could do double jumps and spin spins, and I took ballet and jazz dance and all that.
I would love to see a video of that. Or a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I actually had some moves, but those are long gone, along with me being able to see my, you know, my feet or my penis because of the belly.
Well, you seem to be really enjoying yourself in the dance. Like, I think that's the thing that sort of endeared fans to you the most is that, you know, you seem to be really enjoying yourself in both sketches. And I think that's the reason, like, why, you know, Dylan and I really thought that it would be interesting to talk to you because, you know, you're one of the more passionate and like, I guess just positive, you know, figures of...
It's very quotable.
The players of Tim and
Eric. A lot of the things that you're in, like for example, your shrimp bit in the $1 billion movie was part of the trailer, and the way that they edited it with your mouth, like that sold me on the. I was so excited for the $1 billion movie, and part of it was because of this whole thing where they took your mouth and put it on. What's the lady's name in the bit, Corey?
Oh, right, yeah.
Sunshine Lipstick.
Right.
Sunshine.
Yeah, on Sun, and it's so funny. And yeah, and it, like Corey said, like you're so positive and it seems like you're in on it.
So let's go into that. So let's go to $1 billion movie. So that shoot must have been different, like, you know, much bigger budget and sort of bigger crew, right?
Yeah, it was The TV show was much more intimate, and I had to drive from North Hollywood out to Palm Springs. Now, they were, at one point, it was going to be a two-day shoot for me, and I was going to stay in Palm Springs overnight. Mm-hmm. But then they got things changed, and I had to drive early in the morning, and unfortunately, it was after a rain, and I hit one of those really nasty ramps, and I spun out and took out my left rear tire.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, there were no other cars involved. And it turned out that a car had had an accident there by 3 hours before I hit what was basically their oil slick.
Oh my God.
And then after I got, you know, had the crash, two other cars crashed while I was waiting for my tow truck to come get me.
Oh my God.
So I get down there and, I'm outside this closed down mall and I'm going, what the hell?
What is this?
So I get inside and I have to look around and you're going, hello? Hello? And the place is like echoing practically, hello, hello, hello. I finally saw someone I knew and I went up and they told me where I could go and all that. And I saw the guys and they sent me out to the wardrobe person and I saw what they were putting me in, and it's like, oh, God, why am I so fucking fat? Excuse my language.
No, you can swear on this podcast. It's totally fucking fine.
Okay.
So you didn't, like, you didn't have size, you didn't have a script, you didn't have anything?
No, this was just do whatever. You know, do your dance moves and just yell shrimp at the top of your voice on occasion, and that's what I did. And they did the same. Well, Sunshine went first, so I had an idea of what the guys were looking for,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to do moves that were very different from hers.
Right.
What's she like?
Sunshine is a very sweet lady. Mm-hmm. She is actually very nice and very caring.
Mm-hmm.
She's,
I have her on Facebook. We should get her on. We should get her on. We'll get her on the podcast soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she should. She's a delight. She can be a little. Let's face it. Tim and Eric do not always hire the most sane people for their work.
Yeah, we know that. You know, we're lucky to speak to you and have a spirited, interesting conversation. We'll say that.
Oh, well, thank you so very much.
Of course. Well, we spoke to Tennessee Luke?
Who?
Tennessee Luke, another Tim and Eric player. That was the most interesting and off kilter. He would agree. Conversation we've ever had.
The name is slipping from me.
He's a tall blonde guy.
It's okay.
What did he do?
Oh, what did he do? Totino's.
He was in the Totino's.
But that was a fake commercial they did.
He was in the Crimbus special.
Yeah. Business hugs.
Oh yes. Okay. Yeah. Got it now. Okay.
And you were in the business hugs sketch too, right?
In what?
Did you do business hugs?
No.
Okay, that wasn't you.
That wasn't him.
That was not me. No. I was in the tennis match and the last episode where Tim got stabbed in the park.
Right.
Which was kind of upsetting to me because I saw this beautiful silk shirt. I was thinking, I like that. I like that silk shirt. It's like, they just kept stabbing new silk shirts all the time. It's like, oh, crap.
And
a waste of silk.
Waste of silk. I think they wasted a lot of silk on that show. I think that was prevalent on that.
I wasted a lot of things on that show.
Wasted a lot of things. A lot of fluids and things.
Yeah.
And we know that here's my research part. Like you've done appearances and you've done shows. I mean, did you ever tour? Did you ever do any tours? Go on tour with the boys?
Or even live shows with them?
Well, no, I never did the live shows, but I did do a tour where we went from L.A. to Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and back to L.A.
Oh, wow.
And what was the show? Like, what was the review? Like, who was on it and what was it?
It was just a bunch of the artists doing their skits, like, of course, David Lebehart with his puppets, mm-hmm.
Was James Quall on there?
James Quall, David Lebehart. Oh heavens, I'm trying to remember.
Doug Pound, DJ Doug Pound.
Yes. Oh, of course, Doug. Doug was always there.
I'm a big fan of Doug's work.
What?
Dylan likes Doug. We both like Doug.
Oh yeah, he's a nice guy, and he's pretty good. I mean, you know, he is a professional. You know, people always ask me, "Well, do Tim and Eric smoke pot when they're doing this?" Because this stuff is so weird. It's like, well, maybe during the writing thing, but you can't direct a show and run a company stoned.
Right.
So you've got to be sober, otherwise you are going to not get anything done.
Right. And, I mean, you know, did you ever develop, like, sort of, you know, a relationship with any of the guys, with Tim, Eric, or Doug? You know, do you have any sort of, like, fond memories of you know, just hanging out and working with them?
Relating to, you know, you said how much I seem to enjoy working on their shows. Eric paid me one of the biggest compliments I've ever had. He didn't mean to. I just heard him telling someone that I buy into everything completely. I give it, I don't hold back.
No.
And that was, that was really very special to me when he said that. And, you know, the guys are very busy, so expecting to be able to talk to them all the time is just not in the cards for anyone, I think.
Sure. They're doing everything. Their company does so many shows, and they're just doing so much stuff all the time. Totally. And they're acting in the pieces as well, and you know all the stuff that goes on. And you know, are you how do you feel about the sort of lasting legacy of of your work on Tim and Eric and the sort of fan reaction that you've been been receiving through the years?
Okay, like I said, I've been acting since I was 10, and I've done Shakespeare in the park. You know, I've done all this stuff in L.A. I was on Nip/Tuck for a season. I've done all this stuff, and I get remembered for Spit On. It's like, I have to look at them and say, okay, you know what? There are worse things to be remembered for.
You know, it not only that, but how do you find the Tim and Eric fans? You know, you have this fan base. You know, what are your thoughts on the fan base?
I adore them. I think they're wonderful. There are people, of course, who I'm a bit of a political animal, and I'm very much on the left edge of the political spectrum, and that have been some people. But, you know, I try to not be offensive in my things that I say about certain orange people, but we'll leave it at that.
I think Corey and I are both on the left, and we'll probably agree with you with regards to that.
With regards to the orange people.
Yes. And so, you know, and I, a few of the people are a little more politically centered or to the right.
Interesting. And the Tim and Eric, are you saying in the Tim and Eric fan base that they're a bit more to the right?
No. I meant in the show itself.
Oh.
In the show itself. But with my fan base, yes, I know there's people who are to the right, and I've offended a couple of them.
How?
And I've had to, you know, pull things back and say, okay, there was a meme that was comparing Trump to a certain... I don't even like saying his name, to a certain dictator from the middle of last century. And we did not talk about who specifically it was, but so I pulled it down. I took it down, even though I generally will leave things, even my mistakes, up to show, you know, I'm a human being and I did something stupid and here it is.
Right. So Palmer, you're an honest guy, and I think that's what the fans love about you, man. And well, we gotta thank you for coming on here and being the exact same, just being yourself, being an honest guy. And so you're trying to book some new gigs, and you know, what are you trying to book right now? Are you trying to do movies, TV, you know, is there anything specific?
Well, you know, in L.A., my bread and butter, the way I made most of my money was in commercials. Mm-hmm. But up here, it's TV, and especially, you know, business has changed, and there are a lot of things like YouTube Red and Netflix and all these companies that are producing Hulu and that. So they're producing stuff specifically for, like, internet or for cable.
Right, the OTT platforms.
Yeah. So, thank you. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. And, that's basically where my interests are right now. And that's what's coming up here.
Great.
So, I want one of them to hire me, please.
Well, you know what, Palmer? We'll put this out to the world and... you know, maybe a deserving producer who's deserving of your talent will hear it and say, you know what, call that Palmer Scott. He's an honest broker. He's an honest broker. He's a talented guy, and he does good Hitler impressions.
So that might hit her. I do not know. Well,
best Hitler impression on this podcast of all time
so far.
Yeah. Well, there's also my Cheeto Mussolini, as I sometimes call him, but I can't do that one very good.
Well, let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Oh, no. The joke was what I called it, Cheeto Mussolini.
No, I know. Cheeto Mussolini. We know who that is. We know who you're talking about. You can do it.
Yes.
This is a Canadian podcast.
No, I don't have an...
He doesn't have the bit lined up yet.
Okay.
Killed the joke. You took the joke out with a shovel and beat it to death and then tried to bury it. It's like, no, it's dead. Let it go.
Thank you for calling him on that, Paul.
I really appreciate you calling me out on that. I just really wanted to hear a Trump impression. That's all. That's all I wanted.
No, I tried doing impressions once when I was a kid, and it's like, no, this is not my forte. I cannot do this.
Okay.
I tried doing stand-up. Yeah. If I try something, I can generally tell, no, I'm not able to do this.
Okay.
Impressions and stand-up comedy are two things I cannot do.
Okay, fair enough. So, Palmer, right. Is there anywhere where we should check out your work? Anything you want to plug before we go?
At this point, I'm looking to try to get together a touring show of my own. David Lieberhart has one, and I am trying to get that together.
Mm-hmm.
I have some people who've written some music for me to use, and I've got some ideas, and we'll see how that goes.
Wonderful. Okay, that sounds really, really interesting. Yeah. And so you're...
Other than that...
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, that's about all I got right now, guys.
Okay.
Too much.
Okay, so we have two more questions, and they're very standard Rim Crim questions, okay? What was the craft like on set of Tim and Eric? Like, were you okay with the... compared to the other productions, like compared to Frasier, you know, compared to Nip Tuck, you know, how were the craft services on set with Tim and Eric?
It was acceptable. I have to say the craft service on Nip Tuck was fantastic. And I did a commercial for Lincoln Mercury where we were served crab cakes and steaks and prime rib and barbecue ribs for the 2 days that I worked on that. So kind of hard to top that, but we had Thai food, and the guys had, you know, all had was soy sauce packages, and I said, okay, guys, I got to introduce you to some good soy sauce. So I went out to a Chinese market that I knew and bought them a bottle of good soy sauce and say, use this. You'll like it much better.
Nice.
This is for Tim and Eric or Nip and Tuck?
Oh, no, that was for Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
You brought soy sauce for Tim and Eric. That is amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That was nice. So
I also...
Yeah, go on.
Go ahead. I was just going to say I also made a copy of a CD I have of what's called Carmina Burana for Eric Wareheim. It's a choral work done by Carl Ork back in the 60s, but that's something totally different.
Okay, interesting.
And I try to, you know, uplift the guys a bit.
So speaking of Eric and uplift... we want to know, you know, we always ask, and some people have interesting answers. Have you ever gotten a hug from Eric? And what is it like getting a hug from Eric Wareheim?
From Eric, a hug. I don't think I've ever been hugged by Eric.
Okay.
I don't think so. The man would tower over me, and I would be right in between his tits if he hugged me.
Okay. So, well, you answered my next question. What do you think it would be like?
Well, I guess I could motorboat him. I don't know. That would be
it. Oh, my God. You're breaking us hard. You've broken us hard tonight, Palmer. Well, Palmer, we're going to look out for your next gig and your new show. If it comes around, you know, maybe Dylan and I will get a chance to see it. But other than that, thanks so much for your time today. Good luck with the new gigs, and hopefully we get to speak to you again soon.
I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for your time today, Palmer. Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is what I do. I sit on you, sit on you, sit on you. This is what I do. I sit on you, right on your lap. This is what I do. I sit on you, sit on you, sit on you. This is what I do. I sit on you, right on your head. This is what I do. This is what I do. This is what I do. Sit on you. This is what I do. Sit on you. Sit, 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 sit on you. 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 This is what I do. I sit on you. Sit on you. Sit on you. This is what I do. I sit on you.